Okay, Maggie, it's time.
It's time.
We are back on
Fapodoo.
You were telling me something about something. What were you saying?
Something's itching. And it's not my hands or my palms. You know what I'm saying?
Nasty. Your forehead?
I wish it was that. I really do.
Well, what is it? What do you have to think? Do I need to call Dr. Phil?
We're like Mari.
I like a cat with you. You guys, welcome back to Vaporoo with
Maggie and Donald.
We have a very special guest today. She's gonna educate us, or educate some of you, that you know, the ones that actually listen to us. And Maggie's mom, because I know she's listening. We have a very special one of my cousins, who's not my cousin, but she's more than a cousin than some of my cousins. If that makes any sense. She is a reproductive and sexual health nurse practitioner. Welcome to Vaporoo, Jenny.
Hello, hello. Thank you for having me on, guys.
Of course.
And yes, the whole cousin, not cousin thing, like, it's just like not even hard to like, I mean, I don't even explain it to people. I'm like, they're just my cousin, just don't worry about it. They're
like, it's like, she's my cousin.
But you're Salvadorian and they're from Nicaragua. Yeah, it doesn't matter. We're from Central America. Okay.
You know, that reminds me, like, a long time ago, I had these like friends that they were cousins, but we're like, how are you guys cousins? Because it doesn't really have my friends. And then he was like, well, you know, there's a God in the sky, in the sun.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, that type of cousin.
Yeah, but yeah. Jenny knew me before I was born. So it's like,
yeah, yeah.
How is she not my cousin? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's exactly. Funny.
So you guys, we posted on our Instagram last night, and we had, if you guys had any questions about sex talk or anything health, you know, related. And Maggie, what question did we get? We got one question.
We got one question and one comment / question.
All right.
I just feel like Latinos are like, we're like, want to be so like badass, but then at the end of the day, like, we don't talk about shit. Like, when it gets, like, yeah, when it gets time to be real, you guys are like,
Oh my God. I think in our culture, it's so taboo to talk about anything you do behind closed doors.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Literally.
Absolutely. I mean, and like, your parents don't want to talk to you about it. Like,
you know,
well, at least my parents didn't want to talk about it.
I don't think my parents did sit me down and give me the whole sex talk.
No, my parents used to tell me, like, just don't come with back with una, what would they say? Like, una pata más larga que la otra. And I'd be like, what the hell does that mean? Like, how am I going to grow an extra leg, or my leg going to be longer? I'm not quite sure what that means.
I still don't know
what that means.
I don't get it. I
was about to ask, well, what does it mean?
I don't know. I think pregnant, but I'm not quite sure. Like,
that's fine. Maggie, did you get the sex talk?
Yes, I did. Right? You gave me the sex talk. You gave me the sex talk. Yeah, she's looking at me like
she's looking at your stunned face because you're not supposed to be talking about this.
My dad just said, don't let no boys take your undies off.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody told me that, so I guess that's why it turned out the way I did.
Listen, you said it.
No, it's really sad, though. Like, I get these girls that come in, and they're so oblivious, and I'm like, oh my God. But like, I mean, I get it back in the day, like, okay, because I'm old, there was not the internet to look that stuff up when I was in, like, you know, in high school. But now, like, you can look everything up, and there's still like people that are like, oh my God, no, like, you know, very, very strange. But I mean, it's each their own. And that's why, like, I like what I do, because I can actually educate, you know, these people on like what not to do, what to do, you know.
Yeah,
so yeah, that's why I when you offered to come on, I was like, heck yes, because again, it's something that we should be talking about a little bit more liberally.
Mm-hmm. So yeah,
no digas eso. Don't say that.
Yeah.
No seas tan vulgar.
I mean, like, even, like, not even, like, as much as, like, sexual, like, you know, in terms of, like, you know, what to do, how to be safe. But, like, even the simplest thing as, like, a period. Like, I remember I was, like, in my 20s when my mom found tampons and they were, like, ya no sos niña, ya sos mujer. And you're, like, what? Like, what are you talking about? Like... Yep. Have you seen the size of a tampon? Like, I mean, I sure hope they're bigger than that. Like, you know. But yeah, it's things like that. And I mean, I'm not gonna put my friends on blast, but I have friends that I had been at their house. They started my period, and I was like, "Hey, do you have a tampon?" They're like, "No, sorry, I just use pads." And I'm like, "What? Like, what century are we living in? Like, why?" And they're like, I don't know, just putting something up there. I'm like, oh my God. Like, how, you know?
Yeah, I will say, to comment on that, I prefer pads. Because,
really?
Yeah, because tampons are uncomfortable to me. I don't know why.
Well, I get it. Like, because I don't know, maybe I've just been always more, and maybe that's why I'm in the line of work that I'm in. Like, I've tried those, like, you know, like the Diva cups, the things, and I'm like, and people are like, ew, you get your hands in there with blood? And I'm like, yeah, I do it in the shower, and then you wash up. Like, yeah. Like, but I mean, to each their own.
Yeah.
You know, that was that was one of the questions that popped into my head, was a lot of these Hispanic cultures, like, refuse to let their daughters, once they start getting their period, to use a tampon.
Mm-hmm.
Have to insert it or whatever.
Yeah.
So one of the things that popped into my mind was, it's the hymen, right? That breaks.
Yeah.
I'm not
Which some people are not even yourself. Born. That some people are not even born with. Some people just
see that's where
break
that's
it.
How my question's going, because there's some girls who do like gymnastics and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I've seen those Lifetime movies where it's like, you know, the parents send the girl to the doctor and they're like, "You're not a virgin anymore because it's broken." They're like, what?
Yeah, that's like that when that whole like TI thing came up, I was like, okay, that was like so disturbing. First of all, like, did you ever hear about that?
No. Mm-hmm. What's the TI thing?
So I think it was like about a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago.
Like right before kind of like the pandemic-ish, right?
Yes, yeah. Yes. He came out talking about how he goes to the OB or the, you know, the doctor with his daughter every year for like the physical, and was like, "Hey, can you make sure that her hymen is intact?"
Yeah.
Like, what? Like how ignorant are you? That like, that's not even a thing. Beautiful. To like tell that. Yeah, it was very like weird.
A rapper.
A rapper.
Yeah, exactly.
A rapper.
What a week.
Yeah.
So my question is the question that we got.
Okay, well, let me tell you the question/comment. It says, my favorite question ever was on a podcast where a gay man asked his straight female friend, "Do vaginas have different hairstyles?"
They sure do.
You could style, you know, to each his own.
Yeah, I mean, some people don't want to have anything. And it's really funny because I get a lot of patients that come in and they're like, "Oh my God, I'm so embarrassed. Like, I didn't shave." And I'm like, "I don't care. Like, you're obviously not feeling good down there, which is why you came to see me." And it doesn't matter, you know? So yeah, if you ever go for your OBGYN, like, you know, your well woman, your pap smear exam, or if you're just going because something else is going down there, we do not care if you shave or not. Like, we get it. Things happen. Like, especially like, right, because I started working there in like November 2019. So like shortly after the pandemic hit and salons were closed, right? And so people that are used to going and get wax and stuff, they're like, "Oh my God." I'm like, "I don't care. It's totally fine. We're all in this together. Like, I get it. Like, I personally know the struggle right now." You know, waxing places
are closed. Welcome to the jungle.
I can't. Do you have a lot of gay clients or
patients? Yes, because we do testing for male and female. You know, we do well woman exams and stuff like that. But we also, since because we do STD testing, we also do PrEP and PEP, which if I'm not sure if people know what PrEP is, but PrEP is if you are at a higher, like at a higher risk of catching HIV, or you have like what we call high risk sexual behavior, then you take a pill every day to help you prevent getting HIV. And then, so if you think about it, it's like the birth control of preventing HIV, right? And PEP is like, let's say you were not on PrEP and you had a situation where potentially you don't know either the person's like status, or if you know that for sure they're HIV positive, then you take this medication for like 30 days to help you not catch it. So in that sense, it's like the morning after pill of not catching HIV. Yeah,
that's,
I didn't even know that existed.
I knew PrEP, but I didn't know about PEP.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, you come in, you get, we usually recommend that you get like a full STD workup, and which includes like chlamydia, gonorrhea, depending on what type of sex you practice. If you perform oral sex, you can actually have chlamydia and gonorrhea in your throat. And it, if you just take a urine test, it could be negative in your urine, but positive in your oral cavity. Same thing as like if you participate in like anal receptive sex, then the same thing. So that's why, like, if you ever were to go and get like tested and things like that, and they ask you what type of sex you practice, it's not because we're trying to judge you or, you know, like put you in a category, but like we want to help you. And like, so I may not like offer oral and rectal like testing for somebody that like says that their partners don't, you know, if they don't perform that, or we ask those questions, you know? So, so then you would get all the STD testing. We do HIV testing, syphilis testing. And then we also check, cause the medications that you take are pretty like harsh on your liver and your kidneys. So we also, you know, check your, those functions and stuff. And then as long as you're clear in that, then, you know, we'll prescribe you the medication. And then the same thing, like if you come in wanting PEP, then we actually give you the medication right away without even checking it, but we still monitor your like liver function and stuff.
That's so cool. I didn't know half that stuff you just told me.
Me either.
Yeah.
So yeah. Sex ed in high school was so long ago, but they never really talk about gay sex.
Well, yeah. Well, and also it's
but that was so long ago.
Yeah. So what else was I going to say about that? Yeah, I think that's it about the
PEP. This just reminded me of like that and Mean Girls when the coach is like, just don't do it. Just don't do
it. Yeah. Chlamydia. You'll catch chlamydia, gonorrhea, and die.
Yeah. So don't do it.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know half the stuff. Half the stuff that I learned in sex ed was about female and male sex encounters, and I'm like, okay, thanks. I'm gonna be honest and say that half the stuff that I learned happened not too long ago. I was under the impression for a long time that you could catch HIV or AIDS just by having anal sex. So like that's not necessarily how it works.
Yeah. So,
I was shocked when I found out because we went one time to a Pride festival and they had free testing, and I was like, fuck it, let's do it, you know, because
yeah,
gay man, you should always be getting tested. And then they asked me like, oh, have you had sex with anybody who's had HIV or AIDS? And I'm like, oh no, I don't think so. So it's kind of like, okay. So they explained it to me better and I was just like, ah, I understand.
Yeah.
And I was like, I feel like a fool, kind of, because even as somebody who is in the LGBT family, I was like under the wrong impressions of how you can catch something like that.
But like, it just goes to show that like, it's not because of like your lack of interest or whatnot, but like, it's just that information was not there for you.
Yeah, it really wasn't.
Like,
especially
which is really sad.
Yeah, especially going to such a, like, my high school at my time was so liberal. Like, there was gays. I think we had like one or two transgender people everywhere. And, you know, it was like the teachers didn't care. Most of the kids that I went to high school with weren't really like a bully to me. I did see stuff happen, but even the teachers, so you would think that they'd kind of like incorporate something, but no, like nothing. It was just kind of
like, and I was listening to some like statistic the other day or like on some podcast, and they were talking about how, and I mean, you know, I mean, we have a new president now, which I'm not sure, like, you know, I'm hoping for a change, but like since then, like, I think we have the lowest amount of sexual education in our schools, which is really sad. That's because great. You would think it's like the opposite, like, you know,
you think there's more, because I feel like, not that I know a lot of young kids or anything like that, but I feel like every year the people, the like sexually active people are younger and younger.
Yeah, yeah. And
you think that they try to educate everybody a little bit more.
Yeah, no, unfortunately not.
I can't tell. I think this was like two or three years ago. No. Took me all this time.
Well, you know, what was really sad is that I want to say maybe about a year ago, I had a patient who, you know, she came in, I think she was like 16 or 17. And she had an IUD, a Mirena, right? And she had already got like chlamydia twice. And we were like talking and we like sat down, because so when you go and get an HIV test, it's what we call like the rapid HIV test, which you'll know your results like in 15, 20 minutes, right?
Yeah. Holy moly.
If it's reactive, then, you know, we're like, oh, oops, like maybe you could be HIV positive, but then we send a blood draw out to like confirm it, right?
Yeah.
So when I had to go and tell her that hers actually came back reactive, she was like, but I have my Mirena. And I'm like, what? Oh my God. I'm like, no, baby girl, like, it does not protect you against any STDs. It's going to protect you from getting like pregnant, but not.
Who gave her that without explaining it to her?
Exactly. That's why I was like, where did she get this? You know? And oh my God. And so luckily, and then I remember her saying like, well, isn't it true that like Latinos are more likely because of their blood type to actually come back positive, but it's like a false positive? And I was like, no. That's not how it works. But luckily, her actual test did come back non-reactive, so she didn't have it. But yeah, like you get things like that where people are just, you know, it's awful. It's awful, you know. And you're like, who is like telling you this? You know, like another thing too. Like, and I had this one patient who, he actually was a gay patient who kept getting like he would take the treatment for chlamydia, kept coming back. Cause when, once you get the treatment for it, we tell you like, don't have sex for 7 days. Right. Mm-hmm. And then the medication should work. Like if your partner, like, let's say, okay, just for incidents, like let's say you and Donald were partners. Right. So let's say Maggie, you came back positive.
Mm-hmm.
So you took the medications, and then Donald went to go take the medications like day 5. You would have to wait 7 days after he takes them to, you know, his 7 day period. Otherwise you guys can reaffect each other. Right.
Okay.
So this guy kept like testing positive. We're like, what is going on? Like what? And he, and you know, then he started thinking like my partner's cheating on me. Like obviously my partner is like going out there and go.
Yeah.
And we finally came down to it. Like after like asking him like more questions, right. Cause you almost become like a little detective. He kept using his toys, and his toys came back positive. No. Well, his toys were not positive, but they were carrying it. And I guess he, maybe he didn't clean it well enough. I always suggest to patients, like, listen, if you got a toy and you came back positive and you had used it within this time frame, get yourself a new one. Like, just throw it away, get yourself a new one. Like,
yeah.
But,
so it's all little things, you know, that you wouldn't even think that that would be the reason why it's causing it, you know?
That's so crazy. It's so crazy to me how much I keep learning about sex and everything. I do have one question that when I was in high school, they were STDs and now they're STIs.
Yeah. So it's the same thing, because in STDs, it's like, it's a disease that you almost think of it like a chronic disease, right? So STIs, because they're infections. So like chlamydia, gonorrhea, or bacterial infections that can be cured with antibiotics, HIV, herpes, those are, viruses. Syphilis is also bacterial, but if syphilis isn't like, treat it properly or at the time, then it can become like, there's what we call like primary, secondary, and tertiary stages of it. So like, the obviously tertiary is like the worst, and that's like where they have like neurological symptoms. Like they say, I think Al Capone like had caught syphilis and never got treated for it, because, you know, he didn't want to get treated for it, or for what, I don't know the whole story behind him. And yeah, they pretty much like led him out to like in his like Florida resort, because he was just so incapacitated from all like the damage to his brain from the syphilis.
Wow.
So it, in perspective, it's like catching a random virus that like the stomach bug or whatever. If you don't take care of it, it can grow into something.
It's more like it's more like if you have like a skin infection, it would be the best way to describe it, because like a virus is a virus. It can be cured by like antivirals, or they can stay dormant in your body. Like that's how they can say people have been like cured or HIV, or they're not detectable, is because the virus has stayed dormant and it doesn't come back. Chlamydia, you can get rid of it and then never ever have it again, and it's not going to cause any issues, or gonorrhea. But if you get repeated ones with no treatment, then you can have, you know, like other effects as infertility.
Oh dang.
Oh wow. That's crazy.
Any questions about, I mean, you're female. I'm over here asking for my gaze.
Yeah. Wait, so I have a question. So let's say someone is having like unprotected sex. How long would they have to wait, or like how long does it take for like, God forbid,
so
like HIV
average to develop? So for HIV, it can take up to 3 months for the antibodies to show up in the exam. And then for all the other ones have like different amounts, but like normally it takes about like 2 weeks for it to show up on exam. So sometimes we'll get patients that come in, they had like a one-night stand the night before. They're like, we want to get tested. We're like, okay, but just know that it might not show up. It's like the COVID testing right now, right?
Yeah.
You can get it. You go test 7 days after and you can still come back negative. And then like day 10 or 14 comes back positive. They have incubation periods as well. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about sleeping around. Well, not sleeping around, but you know, like, being active COVID. During this panoramic.
COVID.
During this panoramic.
what my boyfriend likes to call them is COVID creepers.
Oh. The CC.
Like, COVID creeping, right? I mean, it's really crazy. I mean, I'm in a relationship, so I like, obviously it's a little bit different for me, because you know, I have somebody to come, but I'm thinking like, damn, if I was in my young 20s, like, would I be exposing myself out there to like go and get some, you know, like,
hello.
And you get patients that come in and I'm like, aren't you afraid of catching COVID? like, how do you do that? You know, but it has not slowed down. It has not slowed down.
At the beginning.
Well, let me tell you, it slowed down. Like if it was slowed down for me, it just stopped. It's just
well Maggie, there is people out there, like, trust me, they it's pretty crazy. I had a patient also like not too long ago, you know, because the questions we ask whenever somebody wants to come and get STD testing is, have you had any new partners since your last STD testing? And then, you know, in the last year, is it possible that any of your partners had other sexual partners while sexually active with you, right? And it's really funny, like, when some people will be like, oh, absolutely not, you know? And other people are like, yeah, probably, I guess. So I don't know, maybe, I hope not, you know?
I'd be that girl that walks out of your office jumping into conclusions like, who were you with last night? Yeah. Last week?
And then the last one is, have you had more than one partner in the last year? And then depending on how you ask that, it like kind of asks more questions, right? And so if you say yes to that, then it's like, okay, how many in the last 2 months? So I had a patient one day and I was like, okay, well, how many in the last two? Like, he had answered yes to all of them, right? And I was like, okay, well, how many in the last 2 months? He's like, I'm really embarrassed to say. And I'm like, why? And I'm like, dude, no judgment here. Like, go ahead, you know? And then he was like, I think about 100. And I was like, in the last 60 days, that's more than two people a day. Like,
he was like humping and thumping like twice a day.
Well, it turns out he's an escort. So then I was like, okay, all right. But then in my head, I'm like, dude, like, aren't you afraid of catching COVID? Like, but I mean,
catching something.
Yeah.
I'm scared for him.
Yeah. But I mean, if you have to think about it, if that's your livelihood and you're a sex worker, you know, like, I mean, more power to you, and you're coming in to get, you know, tested. So I'm hoping that you are being
careful
as proactive about this testing than you are about that testing too, you know, like, so.
I wonder if sex workers are charging double because it's like a pandemic.
Yeah, I don't know. I would.
I mean, right?
It's a high risk. Right, it's prices pay, right?
Double,
literally.
But
that's crazy, though. I mean,
yeah,
I'm not gonna say I'm not surprised because, unfortunately, there's a lot of gay people that I know are very not fluid, but they're very free and they're very like, mm-hmm. I'm gonna have fun with whoever I want and I don't care. And that always just scares me because I'm like, how can you not feel any kind of like remorse or like fear?
Yeah. But,
like you said, to each his own.
Yeah.
Being safe, right? Like, I don't care. It doesn't make no difference to me.
Yeah, they're taking their precautions. I guess, I don't know. I mean, yeah, that's the thing too. It's like, you know, you have to treat just everybody equally, whatever, depending on what they're coming in with. As long as you don't come in with COVID symptoms and you're trying to be seen, like, it can wait, okay?
Yeah.
I want to be safe, okay?
I looked up some questions because obviously
people don't like to talk about.
They're a little scared. But here's one that says, I get UTIs a lot. Is that normal?
I don't like the word normal, but it is abnormal to not get them a lot. Right. A lot of that has to do with like hygiene and hydration. You know, we always tell people like make sure, even not to just like prevent like urinary tract infections, but any type of vaginal infection like bacterial vaginosis or like yeast infections, is to like make sure you wash up before and after sex. Also your partner too. Because you know we have bacteria that just kind of sits all over our skin and stuff, and then you know your man's had a hard day at work or whatnot, and he comes in, you have like sex, like make sure that they clean up beforehand because that bacteria gets into your vaginas, and our vaginas are like, wait, what? Like, and then that's how you can get like bacterial vaginosis and yeast. But with UTIs, a lot of it is just like proper hygiene, like not holding your pee, you know, making sure you're drinking a lot of water. Decreasing sugar from your diet also really helps prevent like any like vaginal infections, especially yeast, because yeast loves sugar, you know. So I get a lot of girls that come in and want their vaginas to smell like flowers, and it's like no, like you just water, that's all you need. Water, like, yes, outside you can use like some mild soap, you know, clean up and stuff, but like internally, like no. And unfortunately it's because, you know, there is a lot of products out there that say like, you know, pH friendly and, you know, whatnot, but like douching is like one of the worst things that you can do, which I still don't understand why they have it in the market, you know, because it actually causes more bad than good. But I guess people have to make their money somehow. And some people want to have their vaginas smell like flowers. And so,
I guess it's not that weird.
Oh, I was actually telling Donald the other day. Remember, I was like, I'm going to eat more fruit.
Oh, yeah, that's actually a good question.
Because you know how they say when men eat pineapple, their ejaculation
yes.
is sweeter. Well, is that the same honestly, thing for women?
Yes. And it's really funny because I think Cardi B came out with this thing. Not too long ago, I don't know if you guys saw it. Which, when she was like, y'all be going to, you know, eat barbecue ribs, and then you be like, you know, sucking their dick, and then you wonder why you be getting that bacterial vaginosis. And like, I was like, yo, preach, Cardi B. She's not far from the truth. Like,
she's like, y'all be eating bacon, egg, and cheese, and then you be sucking your man, and then he puts it in you. That's nasty.
Yeah. And when she's like, don't you brush your teeth before or after? I don't
know. Yes.
Yeah. She's not wrong.
She's not.
I remember telling my coworkers, I'm like, can we put this on display in the lobby to like play on repeat? Like, so they can hear. But it's true. A lot of like, you know, you are what you eat. And so, you know.
Somebody should get
the less unprocessed and, you know, like more water. I mean, it's so funny because like people are like, oh yeah, water. Sure. Drink enough water. Like drinking a lot of water can help you in so many ways. Like lubrication down there, you know, like just having a healthier vagina, like overall, like water, it's godsend.
Can you guys get Cardi B and like get her to like do a recording, like, hey, this is Cardi B.
I know, like a PSA.
Yes. Yeah. I want to talk today about
we're gonna talk about sex, okay?
Yeah,
we're gonna talk about staying safe,
yeah,
and healthy
and clean. Yeah. You gotta wash down that hair. I could already hear.
And don't be using a lot of that fragrance stuff down there because you know we gotta keep it. I can't with her nails.
Yeah.
And then like somebody should do like an add questions thing with Cardi so that she can say,
I know, right?
Something. I don't think that's good.
I have a question. What is there like an age, like a certain age where you recommend or you don't recommend girls to be on birth control? Because I know some girls start as young as like 15, 16 years old. Like,
no, I mean, honestly, there's a lot of like some people think like, oh, you know, I need to like, I mean, it just depends on the person, you know, like, and your like risks of things. Because if you are a smoker, if you're over the age of 35, if your BMI is high and you have like family history of like heart disease, blood clots, or any type of cancers, then you're probably not a good person to be on like combined birth control, which is like estrogen and progesterone. So there's like different factors that go on. Like I know a lot of people love the Depo shot, and you know, it's great because you don't have to think about it. Like it's every 3 months. However, it's not a really good method to like be on for a long term because it actually decreases your bone density. As women, we're already prone to like osteoporosis. So, I always recommend when, you know, especially like younger girls that like wanna like not let their parents know that they're on birth control, you know, because they like, they keep the pills at home, like their parents will throw it away or whatnot, or something that they're just like, I can't remember to take a pill every single day. Like it's a great method for them, but I'm always like, hey, listen, I know this is like not something that you're thinking about like right now, but like down the road, like this can put you at a higher thing. So like, just make sure you take your vitamin D and calcium supplements, you know, or like eat foods that are rich in like vitamin D and calcium so that you can prevent this, you know? I'm a big believer in like the long-term methods, like the IUD or the implant, it's not something you really necessarily have to think about. There are less hormones that are like released over a long period of time, as opposed to like a pill that you're taking every single day. But I mean, whatever works for you, you know?
Yeah.
Goes off of, I'm going to go, cause you're still on this, the birth control. Mm-hmm. I remember, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I remember when I did sex ed that a lot of, that the teachers would actually say that for girls who had irregular periods, that going on birth control would actually help regulate their period.
Yeah. Yeah.
People before, but I just want to make sure that's right.
No, that's absolutely true. We do have patients that will come in that do have irregular periods, and then that'll help them regulate them. Or like if you have really heavy, like, you know, menstrual periods, and then like, it just depending on which type, right? And then it'll help like lighten their periods, have less menstrual cramps. Some help with like acne. The biggest thing that women always like complain about, obviously it's hormones, right? So it can make you feel a little crazy, you know, because you're adding like different hormones to your body. So that is a real thing. You know, I have had patients that like you're like at higher risk of like depression or like have some type of mood disorder, maybe not necessarily the like best, you know, method for you to be on, you know, but there's other things that you can, you just have to like figure out which one works for you, you know?
Well, I was on the Uber ring for like a year and a half ish, maybe. Mm-hmm. And I think I got off of it like September, I think I want to say last September. And the reason why I was on it was because I was irregular. Well, not like long term, but I think I had not gotten a period in like 3-4 months. So when I went to do my first pap smear, I mentioned it to my doctor. Yeah. And she was like, oh, she's like, why don't we try birth control? But I was kind of like in my mind, I was never, I like, to me, that was like never something I had considered. Like, I didn't want to do it. And she was like, you know, don't be scared about it. She's like, it's okay. It's normal. So I did the NuvaRing because I didn't want to do pills. I suck at taking pills. I'm like, I'm not going to remember to take a pill every day. And I didn't want something that was going to like give me too many hormones because I was afraid of like the side effects. So I did the NuvaRing. And then once I got off of it due to like insurance and stuff anyways. I was scared I wasn't going to get it anymore. I was like, what am I going to do? But so far I've been getting it every month. Okay. So
that's good. I mean, the NuvaRing is like personally like my favorite because I was on it for like 10 years and I loved it. I had my periods were like 3 days long. I mean, like I said, people like have this weird thing about like, hey, you're putting something. I'm like, I gotta put it in the shower, take it out in the shower. You have it on for 3 weeks, you know? And I personally, because the way I explain it to my patients is like, right, you take a pill, you put it in your mouth, it goes into your stomach, it goes into your bloodstream. So you're having more of like more systemic reaction or, you know, whatnot. The NuvaRing, like, or the patch, right? Which the patch is great too. You know, like I said, everything to each their own, but like the patch, it goes in your skin. Your skin is like the largest organ in your body. So again, you're going to have more of like a systemic maneuvering. It's localized. It's in your vagina. It's the, where it needs to be. Like it's not going anywhere. It's not going to get lost. Like
I loved it. To be honest, at first I was like, well, how am I going to put it on? I asked her and she's like, honestly, you kind of like put it in halfway and it knows what to do. Like it knows where to go. It knows where to position itself. And I'm like, oh, and like, I tried like the first, like when I went to pick it up and I went home to put it on, I was like, oh, it does know what to do. Like it's, I don't have to tell it where to go. It just goes where it needs to go. And Donald, remember my last birthday at Octopus, one of my friends was like, well, how am I going to put it on? And it's like fingering myself. I don't know if you remember. I was like, girl, just do it. I'm sure you do.
First of all, let's talk about why you're not fingering yourself. Like, first of all.
Oh my God, I love it.
But like, I had such a good experience with NuvaRing that like two of my friends actually went on it and they loved it too.
Oh, I could be their biggest spokesperson, I would be their biggest person. I loved it. Like like I said, on it for 10 years, it worked great. I didn't have many of the side effects. I mean, all birth control, like I said, like the hormone, the big thing, the second thing is that people complain about is like the weight gain because of, you know, but the thing about it is that it's not necessarily that the birth control in itself causes you to weight gain weight, that it increases your appetite. So you just have to be a little bit more conscious about what you put in your body, your, you know, your diet and things like that. So
that for sure happens. So
what you're saying is that smoking weed. No.
I know, right?
Oh, that's what I wanted to
get. Get the mango or the pineapple. Don't get the, just kidding.
That's what I wanted to ask, because you know on the NuvaRing it says like no smoker, you can't smoke, it's, right?
Tobacco smoking.
Oh, it doesn't go for weed, right?
No, because weed is natural.
Well, unless you're like, unless you're smoking the weed from like a blunt that contains some type of like, you know, tobacco or like nicotine.
My weed comes in a very disposable pen, so I'm okay.
Yeah, you're fine then.
The other thing that I had was, because we talked about UTIs, but they mostly happen to women, but can men get UTIs?
Very, very rare. It would actually be if they had some type of like anatomy issue that can put them at a higher risk for it. Okay. It's just, we are prone to it because of the way our anatomy is. Our urethras are like very, very, very tiny. Yours is like super long, you know? So that's why.
Cause I know somebody who actually, as a man, gay man, they did have a UTI and I,
were they circumcised or not circumcised?
Ooh, I don't know that answer to that question.
So that can put you at a higher risk of it.
Being circumcised makes you higher risk or uncircumcised?
No, being uncircumcised. Uncircumcised.
Well, let's talk about that. Should you do that to your born male child or not? Like what, like that pros and cons?
I think the same thing. Some people talk, like I personally want, you know, like didn't do it for my son. Just because I knew I was going to be on top of like the hygiene portion of it. And, you know, I just, to me personally, it just felt a little barbaric, you know, like I'm not Jewish. It's not a religious thing. Like, why am I going to do it? You know, like,
yeah.
I mean, like I said, it's a personal choice, but as long as you know, like, yes, you are less likely to have, catch more infections and things like that if you are circumcised. But like if you are careful and are like teach your child to be like cleanliness and like hygiene and stuff like that, you know. And like that's another thing, like since we were like talking to my son about like his body parts, like we always were very sorry like by him talking about his penis and not his wee wee, not his pee pee, you know. Because and like kind of like on the opposite side, I remember reading an article about like child assault or like child molestation and things like that, and how using the proper words were able to get people prosecuted for things, because if you said my flower or my wee wee or my pee pee, it was not like, or he touched my pee pee or he touched my, you know, it's like not really, it's a vague term, so it's not as like prosecutable. Oh my God, I think
can't be like held in like
a yes community. Yes,
oh my God, that's so crazy.
Yes, and wow. I remember, I mean, you know what I mean, when I had him, like my time was spent like with him attached to my boob because I was breastfeeding, so I'd always be on my phone like reading things, and then you're like all these things that you didn't even think about, right? Like didn't you have, and I would be like, oh my God, and I tell my boyfriend like, oh my God, we had, and so you know, he would always be like, no, we're gonna tell him penis, we're gonna tell him vagina. So I remember what would he used to say? He used to say, because he would be like, mommy, you have a penis? Like, when I, you know, and I was like, I have a vagina. And then he's like, oh, mommy, vagina. You know? I was like, oh, God. But, like, now he knows, like, my penis. And he knows he needs to pull back the skin. And he, like, you know, cleans it. And so, I mean, I think it's, like, not having that, like, him being ashamed of it. You know, I think, like, when he was, like, maybe around 2, he had a little, like, interest in it, and he was like, you know, like he would play with it, and I'd be like, oh my God, I'm not ready for this, like, but like, I didn't want to shame him, like I didn't want to shame him, and I'd be like, hey, it's okay if you want to, like, you know, if you're curious about your penis, I was like, you just have to make sure your hands are clean before you do it, you know, like, and then the phase went away, you know, like little kids go through all that stuff, you know.
Yeah.
But the big thing is that you don't want to shame them, because then they're never going to want to feel comfortable to come and talk to you about, you know.
Oh my God, that's so true, because I used to work at a summer camp a long time ago. Uh-huh. And one of the questions they asked in the interview were like, what would you do if you caught one of the kids in the bathroom masturbating? And I'm like, what do I say to this? Because I've never had to deal with catching something. Yeah. And then
like, gonna burn in it. No, I'm just
kidding. Yeah.
Like, my go-to response was like, dude, like that's, you know, you can do that in your privacy in your own home, but like not here where there's, you know, other kids,
other people around. Yeah.
It's like there's nothing wrong with what you're doing. It's just not the time or the place. Uh-huh. And obviously I got the job, but it was just it's just like, you know, things. Like I've never you never think of those things. But I feel like there's so much more that we can talk about and that I still want to talk about, but we're hitting our 45 mark. So yeah. We're going to okay. do it.
Wait, yeah. I just want something real quick. Wait, hold up. Because you talked about earlier how like women can get like UTIs because of dehydration. Well, when we used to work retail, at one point they stopped letting us have water with us at the counters. And I'm like, I always have water. So to me, like, if I don't have water next to me, like, I'm going to get dehydrated. Yeah. So when we couldn't have water next to us, like, I would get like pre-UTI symptoms where, like, if I were to go pee after like 3 hours of not drinking water, like, it would sting a little to the point where, I would have like I would have like chills and I would have to chug a water bottle and like wait until I had to go to the bathroom again so I could just not feel that anymore.
I mean, and cranberry juice is actually really good for that as well, because it helps. Something about the cranberry doesn't allow that, like, let the bacteria stick to your like urethra lining. But sometimes cranberry juice has too much sugar in it, right? When I used to work in the ER, the same thing. I would be, you know, constantly working. I was getting UTIs left and right until finally, like, I was like, you know what? I'm gonna get cranberry extract pills. So I would just take cranberry extract pills as like my daily, like, vitamin thing. Girl, never had a UTI ever again.
That's what I was going to ask. Like, what's an alternative? So cranberry extract pills.
Yeah. And then one last thing that I just want to say is that, just, you know, girls out there, make sure that you're constantly, you know, keeping up with your like pap smears, your well woman exam. I mean, from women from the age of 21, that's when we start now. Back in the day when I was young, you started as soon as you were sexually active, and it was every single year. But now it's at the age of 21, it's every 3 years. So it's not something you have to worry about every year, as long as it's normal. If there's any abnormalities, then you might have to follow up a little bit, like shorter time frames. And then one of the benefits of getting older, when you turn 30, we actually now start the HPV and pap testing together. And as long as they're normal, it's every 5 years. So throw that out there.
Can you guys do another one? Like right now?
Oh, what?
Another episode. We record it right now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. So I was going to say, I feel like we still have more.
Yeah, I feel like we just started rolling, so we got it. But I don't want it to be like this overwhelming long-ass episode. So with that, we will say goodbye to everybody.
We'll see you in a minute.
See each other. But you guys will hear part two in the next couple of days, or if not next week. I just want to say thank you so much, Jenny, for coming on.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Really helping the people. Hopefully you guys take this advice seriously. Anyway, bye.
Bye.